Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to another Someone Has to Say It podcast. I'm your host, Justin, and thank you so much for joining us again. Today is Friday, July 3rd of 2020, and today we're going to be doing a little bit of talking about freedom, with this week being the week of Independence Day, tomorrow being July 4th. The day that as the United States celebrates our independence and our freedom, our declarations of independence from tyranny, hopefully everybody will be able to get out and be safe and enjoy some fireworks and enjoy some time with your friends and family. But don't forget the reason why you're able to do those things. Don't forget why you're able to go out there and do that, because a lot of blood was shed. A lot of people died, and a lot of people who believed in the cause of freedom purchased our price to live a free life for you and for your family, for me and my family. So don't forget that on this holiday weekend, why we're doing what we're doing. Just want to say real quick, remind everybody, I'm still dealing with a little bit of bronchitis, so if I pause every once in a while to get a deep breath, I'm not trying to sigh in your ear or anything. I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. Just as a reminder, last week we spoke about on the podcast, we spoke about are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? And we talked about the current condition of the church, and are we satisfied where we are? And we boiled it down to the church needs to return to obedience in his commands, that he holds high his commands and expects us to be obedient to his commands in order to stay in relationship with him. You know, we talked about John 14 and 15, where he says, "If you love me, you'll obey my commands." And our motivation of what we do isn't just, you know, because we're going to heaven one day, but it's also because we love him and we want to please him and we want to be pleasing in the sight of our Lord. This week I'm probably going to bring up a little bit of scripture, John chapter 8. If you have your Bible and you want to turn to John chapter 8 so you can follow along when we get there, that would be awesome. But I want to talk about freedom. I want to talk about, you know, true freedom. And what does true freedom look like? And are we able to experience true freedom? You know, a lot of times we look at freedom as, well, I'm free to do whatever I want, however I want. If I want to buy this, I can. If I want to do this, I can. If I want to, you know, go on vacation or whatever the case is, you know, we look at that as freedom, and it's part of the freedom package, of course, you know. But I don't think that the Lord, I don't believe that he came and died and bled and shed his blood and rose again so that we can enjoy the freedoms of the United States. I don't believe that's the kind of freedom that he came to give us. And I just want to speak to you guys basically what's on my heart and how I see things. And hopefully, you know, like I told you before, like I said in the last podcast, I'm not your enemy. You know, we are not supposed to be at war with one another. We have an enemy. We need to be one when it comes to fighting our enemy. And so I hope you don't take the things that I'm saying as an attack against you, or as an attack against your church and what your church teaches or anything like that. I'm not trying to do that. But what I do want to do is kind of open your eyes and maybe show you some things that you never really considered and you never really thought about. So that's kind of why we're doing these podcasts. But I want to talk about – let's get back to freedom. Freedom from what, Justin? That's a good question. Freedom from sin. Can we actually be free from sin? Can we be free from sin? You know, because that's a question we all need to ask ourselves, and we all need to not ask that self, ask ourselves that question and trying to answer it through anything other than what he has to say. Because in all actuality, if I'm telling you one thing and he tells you something else, you better go with what he's telling you. Because when you see it in the Word of God as plain as day and you see that I'm wrong, please listen to what he has to say. And whatever I say, search it out yourself. Go to the Word. Go to what he says. Pray about it. Open up the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. That's part of the problem. Really, where we are today is that sometimes we're misled. Not purposely misled, but sometimes we are. And you know what? We would have no earthly idea whether or not we're being misled or not. Because we don't read our Bible. We don't pray. We don't seek him. We don't know him. And how are we supposed to know? We know our churches very well. We know our church is great. We have certain pastors we like to go hear on Sundays. And if we hear a different pastor's preaching on Sunday, we may not go. We may travel thousands and thousands of miles to hear somebody preach, but we won't pray. We may travel thousands and thousands of miles to hear a certain praise and worship band, but yet we won't worship in our own rooms, in our own houses. Something wrong with that. Something very wrong with that. Again, speaking from the heart. So I love you guys. And let's move on. So talking about freedom, can we be free? Can we be free from sin? What does the Bible actually say about being free from sin? What does Jesus say about being free from sin? The first question is are we supposed to follow Jesus? Well, yes, we're supposed to follow Jesus. He went to all of his disciples and said, you know, follow me. He said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself, pick up his cross and follow him. You know, 9 times out of 10, whenever we're sinning, we're either believing a lie or we're being selfish. We're either believing a lie or we're being selfish. So Jesus said the first thing we need to do is deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him. Will he ever lead us into sin? The Bible says God is not tempted and he never tempts anybody, right? So if we're following him, the Bible says, Paul says, you know, if you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the lust of the flesh. If you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the lust of the flesh. Well, the lust of the flesh is sin. When we gratify the lust of the flesh, sexual immorality, you know, whatever it may be, we're not gratifying the Spirit. We are gratifying flesh. So do we have the ability to live free from sin? Well, the first thing that has to happen in order for us to live free from sin is we have to be set free. We have to be set free. And when you go, in my experience anyway, whenever I started to experience freedom, it was easy for me to identify those who were not experiencing freedom. And here's the problem with that sometimes is because if you try to tell somebody, hey, you can live free, not in those terms, but, you know, hey, there's more to a Christian life than what we're experiencing. And you don't carry the badge of prophet. You don't carry the badge of pastor, preacher, all those kind of stuff. I'm not saying it's bad to be those things. I'm just saying when you don't carry those things, you know, you don't show everybody, hey, this is what I am. These are my 2-year degrees of theology or whatever. And you're talking about the Bible in a way that they've never experienced. You're going to get a lot of people who look at you kind of weird. Well, who are you? You're not my pastor. You know, and in my experience, whenever I start talking about freedom, I get those looks from people. And I tell them, look, you are meant to be free. You are a person that was designed by God to live free from sin. You think about that, okay? Because right now you may be thinking, or a lot of people may be thinking, well, God understands. He knows that I'm a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, is that what Jesus taught? Is that what he taught? Because I don't see those types of teachings in the Bible, in his teachings. I don't see that kind of stuff in there. What I do see, though, however, is several different times, or two different times is specifically, where Jesus approached somebody, or where they approached him, or he approached them one way or the other, and he told them, go and sin no more. Now, he said these things before he died and rose again. And let's talk about this first scenario, okay? This is the woman that was caught in adultery, and it's found in John chapter 8. If you open your Bibles, you'll be able to see it and read it. I don't know if I'm going to read it or just kind of paraphrase it. But go and read it if we don't read it. And you know, see if what I'm saying is true. See if you get the same thing out of it. Ask the Lord to speak to you in it. But a woman was caught in adultery and brought to Jesus, who was at the time speaking and teaching, giving a message. And he was brought before him, and she said, or they said, you know, Lord, this person, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses commands us to stone such a person. What do you say? And Jesus got down on the ground, started writing in the dirt. And then he stood up after being, you know, pressed and pressed and pressed. And he looked at them and he said, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. Those of you without sin, cast the first stone. The Bible says that they begin to drop their stones and walk away, the oldest from the youngest. And some people say, well, because the oldest had more sin, the youngest, you know, had less sin, and so on and so forth. And then the Bible says that he bent down and started writing again. Eventually, when they all left, he looked up, saw the woman standing there. And he asked her, he said, woman, where are your accusers? Accusers, has no one condemned you? And she responded to him, said, no one, Lord. And then he says, neither do I condemn you. Sometimes the gospel that we preach, and a lot of times, stops right there. And we talk about the love of Christ, and we talk about, you know, how awesome he is, and how glorious he is, and how much he loves us, and how much he has given for us, and all that stuff is good, and it's right, and it's awesome. But Jesus didn't stop there with the woman that was caught in adultery. He said, neither do I condemn you. And then he said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Stop sinning. Now, a lot of us listening to this podcast and reading this scripture right now would say to ourselves, that is impossible. God, how is that even possible? You know us. How is that even possible? Now, either he is the hardest person to ever live for, it's an impossibility to obey his commands, and it's something that we all cannot achieve. There's no way we can live up to his expectations. And then because of that, we make up these things in our mind that say things like, well, because it's impossible to live up to those commands. He understands that. And he expects us to fall, to sin, to fall short. He expects us to do that. But then why would he give the command? Go and sin no more. So either he is the hardest person and it's impossible to live for him. It's impossible. There's no way to do it. Or there's more to it than what we understand. Well, I prescribe to the latter part, that there's more to it than what we understand. And I think it's because I've experienced that freedom. Because basically what he did to that woman is he set her free. She was as good as dead. in the eyes of the Pharisees, in the eyes of the scribes that brought her to Jesus. She was as good as dead. The sentence was pronounced. She was caught. She was guilty. And it was coming down to basically her judgment. And he said, I'm going to let you go. Don't do that again. And you see, when we come to Christ, he says the same thing to us. He says the same thing to us. We come to him, we repent, we ask for forgiveness. He writes, he cleanses us, he takes away our disgrace, our shame, our uncleanness, our unholiness. He wipes all that stuff away. He washes it away. He throws it as far as the east is from the west. But then he also says, stop sinning and start obeying. Stop sinning and start obeying. You see, because there's a misnomer out there in the church. And we have to confront this also, okay? And the misnomer is, or the misunderstanding is, that no matter what happens, I can mess up and sin, and mess things up, and then keep going back to God over and over and over again, and he will forgive me. Now, I am not saying that I'm telling you something about God, that I'm answering for him, because I'm not. But I am telling you something that he gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. It's in the book of Acts, where Paul says, or Peter says, that he said, he's talking to the Sanhedrin, and he says, we are witnesses of these things, talking about the resurrection of the Lord. And he says, and so is the Holy Spirit. And he gives the Holy Spirit to those whom obey him. If you want more power, more love, more fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we have to stop giving excuses to our sins. Well, he knows I'm human. Well, he knows this, or, he knows that. He understands. Yes. But you know what? He was fully able to sin on earth if he wanted to. It was not impossible. Otherwise, if it was impossible for him to sin, what was the point of leading him out into the desert to be tempted of Satan? That was pointless. If it was impossible for him to sin, then all that's pointless. And he doesn't understand. The Bible says we have a high priest who understands how we feel, because he was tempted at every measure that we were. He could have sinned at any moment, but he didn't. So let's go back to John chapter 8, and I want to scroll down, and I want to start in verse 31, I believe. This is after a confrontation between him and the Jews, and he was trying to express to them who he was and that he was the Son of Man and all this stuff. And it says in John chapter 8, verse 31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, these are people who had believed in him. They believed him. They believed his words. They believed that he was the Son of God. They believed that he was the Messiah, the Christ. They believed that. And Jesus turns and says this to them. If you abide in my church, you are truly my disciples. Right? Isn't that what he says? If you abide in my church, you are truly my disciples. No, he doesn't say that. He says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. In other words, not everyone standing here that's listening to me give this message that says that believes in me is truly my disciple. Why? Because you're here one day and you're gone the next day and you're doing whatever it is that you want to. You're not abiding in my word. Abiding in his word means you stay within his word, that you follow his word, that you obey his commands, that you do his will, not yours, that you're following him after his own footsteps, that you're a man after his own heart, that you care about the things he cares about, that you're obedient to him, that you forsake all others, that you follow after him. You abide in his word. His word is what makes the decisions in your life. Listen to what he says after that. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then the answer that he got is, a lot of times the looks that I get from people, they don't say it all the time. Sometimes they do, but the looks, I can tell what they're thinking. But this is what they think also. They answered him, "We're the offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you become free?" In other words, they're saying, look, we are the people. We're the offspring of Abraham. We have a covenant. We've never been a slave to anybody. Oh, you're talking about the people back in Egypt. Well, yeah, they were slaves, but we're not. We're the offspring of Abraham. We have everything that we need. And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the household forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." That's amazing. See, the Bible, Jesus is saying, look, if I set you free, if the Son sets you free, you will be free. And you'll be free, you'll remain free, because you'll know my word, you'll abide in my word, you'll understand, you'll have a different understanding than what you've had before. And that understanding will keep you in my word, you'll understand it, you'll begin to grow in it, and you'll make right decisions. And you won't get tangled up, you won't get ensnared, you won't fall short, you won't, but you have to abide in my word, you have to be obedient, you have to follow what things that I tell you to do. You will abide in it, and then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, whenever, just like they said, you know, we're offspring of Abraham. Well, I go to such and such church, or I follow so and so. Well, that's good. I'm happy that you do that. That doesn't mean you know the truth. I can tell by the way that you act. I can tell by the way you treat people. I can tell by the way that you, the things that come out of your mouth. I can tell by the things you watch on TV. I can tell by the things you listen to on the radio, and things that you put in front of your face and your eyes, and the way that you act towards other people, that you're not free. Because people who are free, they don't do that kind of stuff. Why? Because they're obedient to his word. And his word would not allow them to do that. Why would knowing the truth set people free? Well, earlier in the podcast, I told you why, but now you understand it probably. The truth sets people free. The real truth sets people free, because most of the time when people are sinning, they are believing a lie. They're believing something that is not true, and they think that it'll be okay, or, well, God will forgive me, or, well, he understands, or, well, you know, I know I'm married, but that person over there really loves me. My spouse hasn't talked to me in such a long time. She doesn't look at me the way she used to look at me. Or, you know, I understand the boss takes a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there. You know, he won't notice if a little bit's missing, or whatever the case may be. Those are just a few examples. Or, it's okay to hold hard feelings against my brother. It's okay to do that because so-and-so did such and such to me, and you know, it's okay for me to be mad and upset with him. You don't know his word. You don't know what he has to say about those certain things. Because you don't know what he has to say, you can't be obedient. And because you're not abiding in his word, you won't know the truth, and you'll still walk with blinders on in that particular area of your life. Open your eyes, guys. Open your eyes. Find the truth. Let the truth set you free. Abide in his word. Find out what his commands are. Follow his commands. follow his commands and then watch the truth set you free. Watch you start to see things from a totally different perspective than what you used to see it before. Watch it set you free. You will be amazed whenever that happens. Well, Justin, is it even possible? I mean, I hear you. I hear you. How do I do this? How do I, what you're saying sounds good, but you know, it's not the life that I'm living right now. Well, that's fine. I understand that. But it can change. First of all, commit your walk to the Lord. Commit your life to the Lord. Get the stuff out of your life that you have allowed to bring a gap between you and the Lord. Get rid of those things. Those dirty TV shows that have sexual innuendo and cussing and just all that kind of stuff. Get that junk out of your life. Cleanse your house of all unclean things. Dedicate your life to the Lord. Sanctify yourself. Separate yourself from those types of things. Get rid of that stuff. Come clean with the Lord. Ask him to forgive you for the sins that you committed. And don't try to hide it. Come out in the open with it. Get the skeleton out of the closet, if you will. The sooner you bring stuff that's been hidden in the dark to the light, the sooner you can be free from it. And then, once you do that, you start with a clean slate and you say, okay, Lord, teach me your word. And you listen to his words. You learn his words. There's a difference between memorizing it so that you can apply it and listening to it so that you can become it. You become the forgiven person. You become the loving person. You become the brother and the sister in Christ. You become the servant of God. You become the one that does all of these things. And you do it out of the love, because he sets you free. Because he sets you free. And it's amazing. When you begin to live life like that, it'll totally change your perspective. It starts with clearing your house, getting all the stuff out, separating yourself from the things that you used to do, and dedicating your life to the Lord and pleading with him and getting things right. Telling him, Lord, okay, from now on, I'm yours. From now on, and backing it up with learning his word. And that you'll know the truth, and the truth will begin to set you free, and you'll live a free life. Well, guys, I hope that blessed you today. Again, just speaking from the heart, I want everybody to live a free life. I want people to live a life free of sin, free of the effects of sin, which is condemnation and being ashamed. We need to get rid of those things, get those things out of our lives. And when we bring them out into the open, And we let the Lord deal with it and clean us up. And let me say this too. There may be some people that you need to go talk to. There may be some hard conversations you need to have with family. You need to have with your friends. You need to have with those people that you've let down. And I didn't say they're going to be easy, but listen to me. The Lord will let you know inside your heart and inside your spirit that is a necessary conversation to have. And when he does that, and he's behind it, you'll be amazed at the outcome. I'm not guaranteeing that everything is going to go rosy, that it's going to go easy, but be obedient to the Lord when he lays stuff like that on your heart, and be humble, be willing to not have it your way whenever you do stuff like that. So I just felt encouraged to add that too. So, well, love you guys, and wanted to say thank you so much. Last week again, the question last week was, are we satisfied? The question this week is, are you free? And again, I hope that you have enjoyed this podcast, and like we did last time, let's just spend a minute or two in prayer, and then we'll wrap up. So Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for the truth that sets us free. We thank you for, Lord, for coming and cleansing us, Father, that as we expose the things that need to be exposed, Father, that you would, that the truth would come in, which set us free, open our eyes, help us to see things differently, help us to think differently, to walk differently, to talk differently, to become the body of Christ that you have called us to be, that you have, that you bought, Lord, with your blood, I pray. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for washing us. I thank you for setting us on the right path, for teaching us the truth. Teaching us the truth, Lord. Not our truth, not somebody else's truth, but your truth. What you have to say about things, Lord. And you said that if you set us free, then we are free indeed. Indeed. Freedom belongs to us in Jesus' name. When we declare that, like we signed the Declaration of Independence so long ago, Lord, we declare that by the blood of Jesus and by the freedom that Jesus offers, we can walk free. We can walk sin free. We are no longer held by those chains of bondage, those things that used to drag us down, Lord, the things that would cause us to have so much shame and embarrassment and guilt, Lord. I just ask right now in Jesus' name that you wash us free from those things, that those chains would fall off of us, Father God, as we continue to walk in the name of Jesus. We walk free. We walk free with our head held high with the gospel of peace, and we proclaim it without shame, without embarrassment, because we want to speak the truth so that others can become free in Jesus' name. Father, we love you and we glorify you. We give you praise and honor and glory, sir. Thank you for our country. Thank you for all of the people that are leading our country right now, Lord. Give them wisdom. Give them grace, Lord. Help us to know the truth in that situation also, Father. Let your truth shine. Let your plans for this earth and for this country be laid out and laid in so that we can follow your plans, Lord. And we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much again for joining this podcast. And I can't tell you how thankful I am that you are willing to take a few minutes of your day to listen to it. And I pray that you have a very blessed holiday weekend and that you guys be safe. I appreciate it again.